Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is the University President, Dr. Stephen Jones. The title of his message is Finding Delight in Doing God's Will. The text is from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 8.
Now, if you would please open to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Those of you who are here first semester, perhaps remember we started the semester in this psalm as the passage from which the theme for the year came. You know, we're in a new year. Don't know if you made New Year's resolutions or goals, but we're in a new calendar year, but the same school year. And as such, the theme for the year is continuing, and it is putting feet to truth. Putting feet to truth. Read with me in Psalm 40, starting at verse 1, where David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sacrifice hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That eighth verse, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You may remember this psalm comes after three psalms where David is in deep distress, rejected by friends and perhaps family members because of something. For some reason, we don't know why, they are shunning him, standing at a distance. At the same time, he is in agony. His soul, as he looks inward, he is in agony over his spiritual state and his iniquity, he mentions, as well as his flesh is consumed. He is in some kind of physical infirmity as well. He needs help. And yet he has none, except for he's turning his eyes to the Lord. Psalm 37 through 39, those three psalms are a bundle, a package. They are his waiting for deliverance. And the start of this psalm, he has waited and he has seen God incline. And he remembers, God has remembered him, and he sees God's kindness to him. Though we don't know that his circumstances have changed, yet God has intervened. He has made himself known, and he is meeting the needs. And David comes to the point of verse 5 saying, how manifold, how many, how numerous God's thoughts are. He was in a state of desperation. He needed it. And he is seeing the tenderness, the love of God. A God who rescued us from our need when we were under the weight, the burden of our own sin. The judgment pronounced against that sin that we deserved because we had earned it by our sins. We were under that weight. And do you remember what that was like? Knowing that you stood convicted before God, that if he had then ended your life, that you would have stood before him with the full burden of your sins resting on yourself. That's what we were like. And we were dependent on him. And we, at some point, I trust, you realized that need, were convicted by the Holy Spirit and turned to Christ, realizing there was nothing you could do for yourself and putting your faith entirely in what Christ has accomplished and finished for you. With you in mind on the cross, that he took the penalty you and I deserved. And in that place of the sins he took from us, he gave us the righteousness of Christ. Perfect, flawless, complete, accepted before God. So that now you and I as believers, we are robed in the righteousness of Christ. We are no longer strangers to God. We are now sons and daughters because of Christ. How manifold, how numerous. Why did God think of me? Why did God think of you? I don't know. Other than the fact that God is love and that he delights to save. He did it through Christ. Now, he's changed not only your future, your eternity is different, but now is supposed to be different. It's not just a continuation of the old. It's something new. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all of life is to be different. It's not just fire assurance. It is life changing, now and forever. And the psalmist says in verse 8, in light of all that God has done, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Shared last semester, the ability, the prevalence of people in the modern church, ourselves included, to compartmentalize faith, truth. We go to church, we hear it preached, we say, yes, I believe it. We ascribe to it mentally. It becomes a mental hat hook, some knowledge. But then from Sunday night to the next Sunday morning, do we live what we know of truth? Do we live the scripture we've learned and memorized? Very often we don't. We compartmentalize. We say, okay, here's what I believe. But then the rest of life, here's what I live. And the two too often are disjointed. And we feel good about ourselves because we say, yes, I believe all of the right things. But believing and knowing those things is not enough. It's supposed to change us, to constantly be changing us, transforming all of us after Christ in a process ongoing that will be ongoing until the day we die, process of sanctification. Positionally, we were sanctified at the time of salvation. But practically, daily, we are being sanctified through the Word, through the washing of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And the psalmist says, I delight not just to know it. And young person, your job from now till the day you see Christ is not just to know right, but to do it. To do it. And not to do my will. But now for the Christian, our delight, our joy is to do thy will, O my God. Our life is not our own. It wasn't before, but it certainly isn't now. By creation, we're his. By redemption, we're his. He purchased us. Life is about God, young person. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and strength. Everything of our life being turned over as an offering, a living sacrifice to him, delighting to do his will now instead of our will. Is that your testimony? That you're here, you're in the major you've chosen because it's his will. You have the friends you have because it's his will. You do the things you do because they're his will. Is that your testimony? That was a psalmist's testimony. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And where do we find his will? There are a lot of people who say, well, I think God, you know what? It really doesn't boil down to what do we think God would have us to do? What has he stated he wants us to do? The end of verse 8, thy law is within my heart. He's told us. It's not mystical. It's here. He has told us his will. And as we spend time in his word, we see him. We know his heart. We know his will. And then we're responsible to do it. Not the disconnect between what I believe and then how I walk, but putting feet to the truth that we know from the word. And you know what? That becomes all the more powerful when you think of these words again. These words appear elsewhere in scripture. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. There we find out that those words of David, while they applied to David's state at that time, they were also prophetic utterances. He was quoting something that yet would be said by one who was coming. And the writer of Hebrews tells us who it was who said that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 5. This is speaking of Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the sacrificial system, that he may establish the second, a once for all sacrifice through Christ, by the which will We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How did Christ live? The one who made it all? The one who deserves it all? The one who's the inheritor of it all? Did he live like it was all about him doing his will? He submitted himself. And his personal testimony was that he came to do, and he delighted to do, the will of the Father in coming. That's how he lived. And the word Christian means little Christ or Christ follower. So if he lived like that, how much more should we live like that? He's God. And yet he submitted himself to the first person of the Trinity, the will of the Father. And all of our lives are supposed to be submitted to do the will of the Father. Not drudgingly, okay, I have to. But joyfully, I get to. To give back to the one who has given all for me. To give this sliver of time that will fade and blend into eternity and be nothing as an afterthought, to give that back to him. To make my choices to please him. To live my life according to his will. To give him joy. But it's also my joy. Is that your testimony? Because all of us need to be able to say that I delight to do thy will, O my God. His law is written in our hearts and it controls our steps, that we are putting feet to the truth. And if Christ hadn't lived like that, if he had delighted to do his will, have you thought about this? What wouldn't have been? If he had come and pleased himself, there would be no salvation. There would be no Calvary. There would be no payment of your penalty. There would be no forgiveness of your sins. There would be no heaven for you and for me. We have those things because he delighted to do the will of the Father. And in return, how can we do less than delight to do the will of the Father as we see it in his word? That is the burden of this year, the burden of our hearts for you as students, the burden of our lives. It's not just something we're telling you. Something the Lord is continually burdening and convicting and breaking me about as well, because it's easy to pick up our will again, to put ourselves back on the throne of our lives rather than him. But you know what? The gospel doesn't leave a person where it finds you. It's not just something that happens and then you go right back to the things you did and were. You're constantly being changed. We're constantly being changed by the Lord at work through his word and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But many of us were glutted with truth. Again, how many sermons have you heard? How many verses did you memorize as a Bible quizzer or other things? But then think through, how much of what I know am I living? Am I putting feet to? There's a business owner in town, a Christian man, who shared with me. He has a number of Christian employees. And he said, you know what? Sometimes the Christian employees are the hardest ones. He said, sometimes I wish I didn't have as many Christian employees as I do. Now does that seem harsh? It did to me. But from his experience with Christian employees, he said, you know what? Sometimes my unsaved employees are better. My Christian employees come, their work ethic is not what their unsaved counterparts' work ethic is. They come in and they, as a Christian and knowing I'm a Christian, they expect special favors as a Christian or have to work less and still get the same pay that others will. He said, I'm actually, you know, some of my unsaved workers do a much better job than many of my Christian workers. Again, but they're in church. They know what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, they probably heard Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. That's what truth is, right? For you, for me, for any employee who's a believer, that's truth. But putting feet to it means the Christian worker should be far superior in work ethic, in efficiency, in enthusiasm, in service than the unsaved worker. That's putting feet to the truth. But as in so many cases, there's this division of here's what I believe, but here's what I live. Yet, Christ said, if ye love me, not know my commandments, but keep my commandments. That's the measure of our love for him. Not how much we have stored up here, but how much we're living. So as you go through the rest of this day, think about the number of sermons you've heard. Think about how much truth you know. And then think about how much of the truth you know is actually showing by how you live. Without packing up, let's just close and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we do pray that you would use your word in our hearts to convict and to change. We thank you that it is alive. The word is powerful and it is penetrating. It cuts us. And though that cutting, that conviction isn't pleasant, it is good. When we see who you are, when we see what you desire, and then we look at our lives and see how far short of that we fall, we pray that that work would be ongoing today, tonight, tomorrow night, through the messages, and then throughout the semester, both in our personal time with you and in the time when we come together as a university family, that your word would be lifted up, that we would see truth, that you would help us to understand what it is you are asking of us. But then, Father, that we would follow through in obedience, showing love for Christ by delighting to do thy will, O God.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Stephen Jones. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.